If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 11. Thank you for sharing in special music today. Appreciate it. A number of you have wondered how our trip went. We were on vacation last week, if you weren't here, and we went to a little small town. It's called Washington, D.C. We were in the White House. Mr. Trump did not come to greet us. I'm not sure why. I figured he would know our family was in town, but he did not. But we were in the East Wing, and we did a number of other things. How many of you have been to Washington, D.C.? If you haven't ever been there, I encourage you to go. And if you need any ideas, I could let you know of what not to do. And no, I could let you know of what to do. It was a wonderful trip, and I'm very thankful for our history and the freedoms that we have in our country. I'm also thankful for our pastoral staff, Pastor Mark and Pastor Bradley. I'm thankful for Pastor Mark sharing in a message last week and them taking care of things while I was away. We had like 6 surgeries or so while I was away, as well as other needs, and so I'm very thankful for them. I just want to remind you that we have 2 awesome young men that serve at our church, as well as their wives and their families. And so, yes, praise God for that. I want to get to the message today because I believe God is wanting to speak to us today. And so I've been praying about this, and I just ask that you would open your hearts and your minds to what God wants to speak to each of us about. Sometimes in our spiritual lives, especially those of us who have been Christians for a while, you think, I've got this down. And there are sometimes in our lives where something comes upon us that causes, if you will, a spiritual death within us. And so I would ask of you this morning just to look at your own life and say, God, is there something that's causing death within me that needs to come alive? Whether that be you who have served Christ faithfully for 89 years or you who have served the Lord faithfully for a year. Or maybe you don't know Christ yet. And if you don't, maybe today is the day that you go from death to life. In that spiritual nature. The last 2 weeks, we've been in the text around the life story of Lazarus, actually the death story of Lazarus. We see Lazarus being ill, and his sisters Mary and Martha, they sent word to Jesus saying, our brother is ill. They didn't ask him to come per se, but they said he was ill. And he said that he wanted to go with Lazarus, but what did he choose to do? He chose to stay 2 more days where he was. And then he said, well, let's go ahead and go now. And the Jews that were around him, his disciples, said, well, don't do that. They were going to stone you, remember? You don't want to go there. But he says, let's go. Jesus said that it was for the glory of God that this illness was there for Lazarus. And I proposed a couple of weeks ago that maybe sometimes, or maybe more times than we care to admit, God allows the illness or death of something or someone for his glory. I also mentioned that maybe death brings out the glory of God more than anything because we try to manipulate and manufacture and take care of everything in our lives, and when death comes, we can't do anything about it. It just comes. When you have a loved one die, it's like, some of you have been down that road before and you've said, you know what? Rapid City is not the place for us. We need to go to a place called Mayo. And so you've ran to Mayo or you've ran to another medical facility. Why? Because you don't want death. And some of us have escaped that. But when death comes, it changes and is God's glory in all of that. Last week, Pastor Mark did a great job talking about Jesus being I am the resurrection and the life. If you didn't hear the message, you can always go online and listen to it. The next of the I am's in the book of John. He said a phrase last week that I hope you caught. If you didn't, here's what it was. We should release our past and hold to the present in a way that changes our future. Those are some neat words that he said last week. Release our past, hold to the present in a way that changes our future. Now we get to the part where Jesus actually raises Lazarus from the tomb. And I don't know if you've been here the last 2 weeks or not, but here's my hope. That you will be like Lazarus and come forth from the tomb of death that is in you. This illness was for the glory of God. And here's my prayer. Would you be willing to be unbound by the death clots that might be around you? Maybe you know they're there. Maybe there's something right now that God's saying, yeah, you need to let go of that. Maybe you don't even see it. Let me share. I'm going to give you a teaser a little later. Lazarus didn't know that he had the death cloth on him. He was dead. He didn't know that. I mean, now he may have assumed that before he died, but he didn't know that. But then when he was raised from the dead, he couldn't see because he had that. And other people came around and took those off for him. Maybe you don't even see that. And so maybe that will happen today, that God will identify something for you. If you join me in John chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 38 to 44. It's on the Bible in front of you on page 898. Here's what it says. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Or maybe your version says, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." I want us to see how the glory of God was seen through several. And so the first point is this: the glory of God through Jesus. The glory of God through Jesus. God used Jesus to display his glory. Jesus honored the Father. He prays to the Father in verse 41. He knows where his help come from and why this illness does not end well. I mean, at first it doesn't. I mean, Lazarus dies. Sad for the family, sad for Jesus, so much so that we see the best Bible verse, memory Bible verse in the Bible of Jesus wept. Sad for him. We sometimes, we want glory for ourselves, for our own self-motivation, for our own self-worth, and Jesus wanted glory for the Father. Jesus did not pray long. Did you look at his prayer? It's about 39 words in English. Jesus thanked God in advance, and maybe that's how we should start our prayers. And so we see Jesus thanking God at the beginning of his prayer. And he doesn't even say that crucial word at the end of the prayer. Do you see that? He doesn't even say, "Amen." He just says, "Thanks, Father. I know you're going to do it. Here we go." That's Steve Selfridge's interpretation. Then Jesus utters these words, "Lazarus, come out." Or, "Lazarus, come forth." I doubt, this is one of those things that I think about sometimes, maybe you don't, but I doubt it was a, "Lazarus, come out." I have in my mind it was a, "Lazarus, come forth." I don't know. It does say it was a loud voice. It wasn't a, "Lazarus, if you kind of want to come out and play for a little bit, please come." No, he said it with authority. And when Jesus speaks to us, his voice comes with authority. Fred and Carol went home last night, and there were a couple of times that as we were visiting, Fred said, "God spoke to me, and I know God spoke to me." I mean, he's just shared a couple of different times. I want you to know that the same voice who said, "Lazarus, come out," was the same voice who spoke the world into existence. It was the same voice that would say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was the same voice that said, "Let the little children come unto me." It was the same voice that preached the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It was the same voice that often said, as we see in John, "Truly, truly." It was the same voice that said, "Peace, be still," as he was on the middle of the lake, and the same voice that chats with you. That's the voice of Jesus who said, "Lazarus, come out." And that was the glory of God through Jesus. I don't know if you caught it, but here's what it says in verse 38. It says, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, In the New King James Version, I think it does a better job. Here's what it says in the New King James. It says, groaning in himself. That was Jesus for Lazarus and what was happening and what was taking place. Second thing I want you to see is this, the glory of God through Lazarus. I've never died. Anybody else died here? Damon had a time where he was a hurting unit. I say that tongue in cheek because most of us here in this room have not died. But there are many accounts of people who have tasted death. And they've had an out-of-body of experience. I don't understand all of that. I personally think that's a little unusual and weird because I don't understand that. But I've talked to some people and they've had something happen in their life. Imagine Lazarus with me for just a moment. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I imagine Lazarus sitting at the table with Jesus, the wedding feast of the Lamb, and he's sitting there and he's thinking, heaven is an awesome place. He's been there 4 days. And then he hears these words, you know, Lazarus, I need you to go back to earth. Oh, time out. Excuse me. I know of people who have seen a bright light before they've passed or some grandiose thing. And they're like, it's so beautiful. You've heard of those. And you're like, well, don't come back here. Go. But Lazarus, I need you back there. The tombs of that day were made of natural caves or hewn rock, not caskets. Well, they didn't have caskets in those days. There was a chamber, and so the chamber was about 6 feet long. It was about 9 feet wide and 10 feet high. And what they had was they had 8 shelves cut in the rock, and there were 3 on one side, 3 on the other side, and then 2 in the back. And that's where the bodies were laid. The bodies were put in linen, and the hands and feet were swathed in bandages like wrappings, and the head was wrapped separately. Lazarus, his body, is on one of those shelves. And Lazarus hears these words, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I've wondered what that was like. Some of you, maybe even this morning, you woke up and you're like, I'm really groggy and I'm not sure what day it is. Is it Sunday? Am I supposed to go to work today? Is this the day to mow the lawn? Am I supposed to help the kids today? And you wake up groggy. I wonder what he heard on that day. Did he actually hear his name? Could he see? Did he wonder what the cloth, what was happening to his cloth? Oh yeah, I died. I forgot. Did they stay outside the tomb for 10 minutes? Was it 5 seconds? I assumed it was pretty fast. I mean, we read it pretty fast. He didn't have time to prepare himself. Oh, I need to prepare myself before I go out and greet everybody. And I'm assuming the tomb was dark, and he walked out into the brightness that was right there. Many times, please hear me on this, many times, we think we have to clean up before we come to Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, you know what? Let's go in first and let's take off the linen cloths. He's been dead 4 days. He's going to be pretty smelly. And you know, he's not going to look very good. We probably should put a little powder on his nose. Not that guys would want that, but he probably should at least brush his teeth. I mean, let's take some toothpaste into the guy, okay? He didn't do that. He said, Lazarus, you come forth in how you are, and then we'll go from there. It was the Jewish belief that the spirit of the departed person would stick around for 4 days looking to get back into the body. But it was believed that after 4 days, the spirit left because the face was so decayed that it could no longer be recognized. might be a picture for us of what might happen in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trump of the God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Imagine the story that Lazarus would tell. Pretty life-altering, if you ask me. If there was a Jerusalem Times reporter, I'm assuming Lazarus made the front page of the paper. Hopefully, they took the picture of him after he had some time to clean up a little bit. Have you told your story recently? If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a story. And your story is when you've passed from death to life. And maybe even today you'll have a story about something God's working in your life and you pass from death to life. You might not get your face on the Rapid City Journal or on KEVN News, but when Christ works through your life, you pass and you have a story, and other people need to know that. Because when God works in our lives, it's supernatural. And other people might think it's weird, but when God does something, it's powerful. I did not read this, but if you look in the next chapter in verse 10, so the chief priests make plans to put Lazarus to death as well. They weren't happy with Lazarus, and they wanted to put him to death as well as Jesus. Third thing I want you to see is the glory of God through Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha were sisters. I have two older sisters, so I hope I don't get myself in trouble, but they probably won't listen to this anyway, so I'm okay. Sisters are great watchdogs of others. If you have a daughter in your family and she's the oldest, guess what the older sister does? She watches over everybody, doesn't she? Maybe not. Maybe there are some of you that's not that way. But I just think of Mary and Martha. They're watching over their brother, and they take care of their brother. It was both who said to Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. So now Jesus wants to roll the stone away, and Martha goes to him, and we read it in verse 39. Jesus, don't do it. It's going to stink. She also may not wanted the people to see the decay. And she had no idea why. Maybe she just thought he was going to go in and anoint or something. She had no idea. We do. We read the story and we're like, well, yeah, just do it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, Martha. But she did not know. She didn't know that he would utter his voice and Lazarus would come. So they moved the stone. Kind of like a stone was moved later at Jesus' tomb. Though nobody moved that stone except for God himself. She, Martha, wanted Jesus to do what she wanted. She wanted him to be there at the right time, and she didn't want to cause a big stink. What does Jesus tell her? Believe and you will see the glory of God. I stop for a moment here because I think Martha is like some of us. No, Jesus, don't roll the stolen way. It's going to stink. This is not good. This is my brother. And we're not going to leave him like this. And Jesus says, no, we're going to do this anyway. Sometimes Jesus does things exact opposite of what we want to do. You ever had that in your life? Maybe you're in that period right now where you say, no, I wasn't supposed to do that. You're supposed to lead me this way. Imagine their story, Martha and Mary. They were eyewitnesses. They saw him live. They saw him die. They were very well could have been with him and held his hand. You have sat by a loved one and saw them die. You knew, they knew, but they also knew from this time what had happened. How long did Lazarus live after this? Anybody know? I don't know, but I bet you the rest of their days are like, woohoo! Imagine the stories. No, go back again, Lazarus. Tell us how you felt right before you died. And then tell us again did you hear Jesus' voice? Well, I can't quite remember. You know, that's like 20 years ago. And I imagine the stories. We also see the glory of God through the Jews. Who rolled the stone away? Nobody's mentioned here. Maybe he could have gotten it out without the stone rolled away, but someone rolled the stone away. I doubt it was Mary and Martha. Someone else believed in Jesus. There was others. And what happened to them? They were a part of the story. Again, if you go on to chapter 12, and you look at verse 11 now instead of verse 10. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. God was shining through these Jews, and they were a part of the story. You are possibly a part of another person being unbound. Number 5, unbind him and let him go. I want to finish the message with these words. Unbind him, or if you're a lady, unbind her and let her go. Think about what would have happened if Jesus had not intervened. It would have been a funeral instead of a birthday party the next year. There would be mourning at the tomb instead of this great and glorious celebration. I don't know that they had balloons, but it'd be kind of like, bring out the balloons. I mean, Lazarus is alive. It's flowers at the gravestone instead of another candle on the cake the next year. It's tear-stained cheeks instead of gaped open mouths. What just happened? Lazarus came back from the dead. I think we can relate to this in our spiritual lives. Lazarus did not know he was bound. When did I get these claws around me? Maybe you didn't realize you can be bound by death claws. But here's what the scripture says. And you who were dead in your trespasses and sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. I am praying for someone today to be unbound by something that is trapping you. As you've heard this sermon this week, and maybe the last weeks, you knew that you were bound, or maybe you didn't know, maybe God's revealed something to you. Jesus can give the command to come forth, and others can help unbound. What if they never would have unbound him? Think about this. He would have walked around in those claws for the next few years of life, bound in funeral cloths. Now, that would be kind of silly, don't you think? But sometimes in our lives, our spiritual lives, we're bound by a sin that we continue to let bind us. And because of that, we walk around like a dead man or a dead lady. What are we bound with? We're bound with sin. He was bound with death. So I thought of some sins that can bind us, and maybe this is you. And before I list these, let me just say this. Maybe God's really revealing something else in your life. And then I say this, why not live? I mean, if there's something in your life that's a sin, then get unbound by it today and really live instead of walking around in those dead cloths. What can bind us? An addiction. Some of us have an addiction within this room that we're bound with. Lust can bind us. Alcohol can bind us. A fear. Demonic hold in our lives can bind us. Gambling can bind us. Apathy can bind us. Anorexia binds us. Anger. Resentment. Sexual confusion. We can be bound. Bitterness, pride, selfishness, False humility, pornography, self-image, how we view ourselves, greed. Here's what's said of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now found. So they begin to celebrate. I don't know what kind of cloths they had. I really don't. This is probably a gross representation of the cloths that they had. But they had him bound. And he couldn't see. Maybe as he was trying to come out of the grave, he couldn't see. But you know what? Even if you can't see, if somebody was to talk to me right now, I can hear them. So maybe God's talking to you today about something that he wants to say, take off the grave clothes and come forth. Sometimes Jesus uses something in our lives to show his glory. And he came and he had the tomb and the stone removed. Even when Mary and Martha are like, no, don't do that. But he uttered these words, Lazarus, come forth. And come forth he did. And imagine and think of his life. He walked, he danced, he skipped, and he had another birthday party when they thought that his birthdays were no more. Today I have some linen cloths on the altar. In a couple of moments, I'm going to pray for each of you. I'm just going to ask that you would just be seated today. But what I'm going to ask is just that God would talk to you. And if there's something that has been binding you, that you would just say, I'm ready to be released from that. And you've tried a bunch of self-help books. And you've tried mind over matter. And let me tell you, what you need is Jesus. He is the one that can say, whatever your name is, come forth. And you can be unbound from that. And today, maybe as I pray, you need to come to the altar and you just need to pray about something. Why continue to walk in bondage when you can be set free? And I say this carefully because I know all of us are good Christians, aren't we? Every one of us here is a good Christian, and we don't have any challenges whatsoever. Right? Wrong. All of us have things that can creep up and bind us. And why not allow Jesus to let go of the grave cloth? And today, maybe you'll come during prayer time, or maybe you'll sneak up afterwards, and you'll just pray about it, and then you take one of these home and say, I was bound, but now I've been set free. Lord Jesus, I pray for each man and each woman that's in this room. We are sinners set free by your grace. There are times, Lord, when even the best of the Christian that's in the room, whoever that would be, the godliest saint, is bound by something in their life. Maybe it's a mistake. Maybe it's just calm. But you know what that is. Maybe it's on the list that I gave. Maybe it's something else. I pray in the power of Jesus' name today, that you would be with every man and every woman, every boy and every girl that's within the sound of my voice. That if they are bound by something, that right now they would say yes to you and they would trust in you to do only what you can do. God, would you set each of us free from the sin that so easily entangles us. And may we run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And may the linen cloths of death, just like they surrounded Lazarus, may they fall to the ground, and may we run with perseverance. I pray for that man that's here today that's been struggling with something that maybe most people don't know about, and yet you're ministering to that man right now. I just pray, God, that he would say yes to you, and that he would release, and that you would touch him. God, I pray for that lady that's here today. She struggled for a number of days, and the cloths have been around her. I pray, God, that you would unbind her to live fully for you. God, you are an awesome God, and I pray for that individual here today who has never, ever went from death to life. They are walking in the sins that they have had since they were born. I pray that right now they would say yes to you, and they would be unbound, and they could live, as you have said, life to the full. God, I just want to thank you for the time that we've had here today. I believe and I trust that you have done some work today in some people's lives that will impact them for the rest of eternity. And so, God, I pray that we would go forward in great rejoicing because of what you have done and how you have set us free and how you have lifted off the grave clothes. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. Thank you for setting us free. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming today. You're dismissed.